Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Legvi. Good morning to all who are listening, no matter where you are in the world. We are engaged and have been engaged in a conversation through Lent. And we didn't know we were going to have an ongoing conversation, but we are having one given the circumstances of a global pandemic. And so today is a very important day in the Christian calendar. It is when we were kids, we Palm Sunday was just as important as Easter Sunday. And we all got little oranges or things like that when we came to church. So it was a big deal. Palm Sunday was a big deal. And so today, Pastor Lena, Pastor Paul, and myself, we're going to talk about Matthew 21. Verses 1 through 11, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Let me begin by reading the text for us. The Bible says in Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Amen.
Amen.
Well, amen, church. Right? Well, may God bless our time today as we go forth in this. May God bless the reading of his word, and may God bless the discussion that we're going to have today. Yeah. And may God bless all of you who are listening, and don't feel like you are a non-participant. We want you to participate. Go ahead and chat and text and post those things that you feel like are reflections for you as we go along. We really enjoy them, and we go back and read them, actually, as we have the time after we're all done doing this. We make sure that we know what people are saying, because it's important to us to be in dialogue with our community.
Yep.
Amen. Yep. Well, Pastor Lena, start us off. What is this triumphal entry resonate in your spirit as the pastor of a community that's engaged, not just in the process of listing the scripture, but the process of doing the scripture?
Yeah, I think I've been thinking a lot about our last conversation last week, and with many people in our congregation, those of you that were in small groups the last week, it was really fascinating because I feel like a lot of people were connecting a lot of the conversation to their lives, their own personal lives, and that's obviously deeply encouraging. I feel like when we started the Lenten season, the whole theme of our journey with Lent has been wilderness discipleship. And I know March 1st seems like a long time ago, but that's when this whole thing started. And so what has been a common theme, I think, as we've been having these conversations now online, is this idea that sometimes we don't see the whole thing. A few weeks back, we talked about blindness and that we see some things, but we don't see a lot. And Jesus is always challenging us in the way that we see. And so that's been helpful for me as I've continued to work through the passages, both here and then during the week and then with our small groups, or what are the things that I'm not seeing? And so you come to this passage now, and you know, I come with that question, what is it that I'm not seeing, or what is it that I'm supposed to now see? And so for our community, I think that this is a really important time, because I think that's the question for us, right? Is what are we supposed to see? What are we to discern in this moment of being where everything has been sort of turned upside down? Like we're going to have to figure out how to do Easter in a way that the church has never done before. Yeah. What is it more than Easter, more than the tradition of, you know, what we do and how we celebrate and the big choirs and the big music and, you know, everything is all about us celebrating together in that space. I believe still that God is wanting us to see something. And I feel like God is saying, let go. Let go of these things that you have built to be able to be more present to the things that are on my heart. God, right? So when I look at this passage of, and you know, I don't want to rush too far to Easter, because I think like Jesus, we're on a journey to Jerusalem. We're on a journey to the cross, and we're kind of trying to make our way there. And so when I think about the crowds that had gathered, the crowds that had been following Jesus, like this verse 21, verse 1 is, you know, as the crowds have been with Jesus. And so there's this kind of fervor that's happening with them. They come into Jerusalem, and there's a whole different, I mean, the way that the text reads, right, is that the people in Jerusalem are having this response. There it says that they were being stirred. They are in great turmoil. There's something going on that Lena had not seen before, that I think I'm more present to now because of the way that we're having to gather now.
Yeah. And our the difference in our experience, our human experience, our global experience, right, may actually cause us to read this text a little differently.
Oh man, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that caught my attention was early in the text. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. And in reading that, I never thought about the fact that Jesus, it was prophetically spoken, right, for Jesus to tell the disciples to go untie the donkey and the colt who would be used to bring him into Jerusalem, especially after our conversation last week, where we're talking about untying Lazarus, that the community's job was to untie Lazarus. And so in this moment, God of creation, right, also allows for the donkey, for creation to be used to fulfill his purpose, right? For creation to be used to fulfill his purpose in ways that, in this particular way, Jesus is riding not on a chariot of horses like Rome would have done, but on a colt, on a donkey, right? A king comes in on a donkey, right? Mm-hmm. I've not seen, based on kind of our experience, it does change how we can look at a text. And that's one of the things for me that resonated. Was there one for you, Pastor Paul, when you were reading this that you said, probably haven't seen that as clearly as I do now?
Yeah, when Pastor Lena was talking about what is it that we don't see, one of the things that this whole notion of turmoil, distress, agitation.
Sure.
That Jesus's presence was what caused that.
Right, right.
The disruption. His presence was disruptive in the temple court, the religious center, the temple courts, right? And it makes me wonder, as people who are professing Jesus in. And at this time, I'm saying, Jesus, come. Hurry up, come, because we're in this moment of disruption too. But that we are in this moment of disruption, and reading this text, I wonder, where is Jesus in this disruption? Because his presence causes disruption for us. And we know we have the global pandemic, but what is it causing in us where we need to invite Jesus? And what kind of disruption is happening within us around what we held so close to us?
I think for sure, as a pastor in a church, right, and as people who gather, it's a part of our rhythm, right? This is what's disruptive, actually. You know, for many folks, you know, attending something every Sunday, and honestly, when you think about religious practices, the rest of the world that doesn't may or may not kind of have a religious kind of practice where they gather together to be people of faith together. I remember telling a young person once who was visiting church with his parents. And I remember when we were singing, and I looked at his face and I could tell that he was like, this is the weirdest thing, you know, that people get together once a week and they sing songs together. Where else in the community is that ever? That is a weird thing, right? And yet there's millions of us that do it, right? That's become a very much a part of our, you know, the three of us, I know, grew up going to church every single Sunday. And so you have this practice of however many years that you're doing this 52 times a year. And this thing right now is just disrupt that entire rhythm of life, right? So I think, Paul, when, you know, this is why a few weeks ago I kind of posited that, you know, I feel like Jesus is saying, God is saying to us, I'm going to disrupt this thing that's happening will be a disruption, and I want you to take the disruption and look for me differently, right? And so when I tie that back to this Palm Sunday, you know, what we call Palm Sunday service, that it also was a people that were doing what they always did, right? Passover, right? And Jesus was causing, his presence was causing a disruption, we have the benefit of, you know, looking back at it and going, oh, we know what was happening.
Right.
We see now. But, you know, I often wonder, in the disruption that Jesus was about to cause on his way to the temple, what has the church done with that truth of the disruption? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And ironically, it was the people in Jerusalem were asking, who is this guy?
Yeah.
A failure to recognize, to see. Where's that question of where is Jesus? A failure to recognize and see is part of one of the rhythms of the gospel stories, right?
Yeah. Wow. And, you know, I think the question that you're saying, you know, people, that where is Jesus in this? But the question that they're asking is, who is Jesus?
Right.
Right. And so what a great reminder, you know, always to kind of ask the question, who is Jesus? You know, what, and all of what that means in terms of, then, you know, if that's who Jesus is, then who are we?
Right. Sure. Well, in fact, right, the text before where Peter and Jesus are in a conversation, and Jesus says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter said, some say, but I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you. This is, but my Father in heaven. So this is one of the ways in which a community is asking that question now, right? It's not just Peter's revelation, but the community has gotten a revelation.
Come on, community. Come on, community.
Community is getting around. It says, in a large cloud spread their coats, their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. And then they put the branches on the ground and trees and spread them over the road. And this moment of clarity, right? Mm-hmm. That the response to the question, who is this? Is that this is the Hosanna. Right? This is Jesus the prophet. Now get this, right? This is for all of us who come from backgrounds that are hard and rough and we didn't graduate from the best schools and we don't have the best jobs or the best opportunities. The King of Kings, they say of him. This is Jesus the prophet coming into Jerusalem.
Yeah.
From Nazareth and Galilee. They didn't get that part out.
No, they didn't. They put that in there. Now make sure you read that part.
Right? Mm-hmm. This to me, this is like huge because Jerusalem, the layout is Jesus is walking into Jerusalem never to come out again.
Right.
Yeah, I think also the, Passover, right? So I was on a call today with some pastor friends and we were talking about this passage and she happened to say, you know, this is very poignant, right? Because Passover, right? You mark your door, around your door, like Passover us. And she said, that's what she feels like she's in right now, the quarantine, right? Mm-hmm. Passover us, right? I just thought that was really such a great way to sort of bring that into our current day dynamic so that we can actually see that that there's a connection that we have to this story that sometimes, you know, in our current day situation, I don't know that we're always really pressing into all the connections that our story and this story can have for us, right? So Jesus on his way into Jerusalem this week, Holy Week, right? Jesus is on his way to the crucifixion and in the very next set of scripture, on his way to the temple.
Right.
And I think that's been another thing that I've been thinking a lot about for us, for Lake Burien, right? The mm-hmm. physical place, yeah. right? Where we gather, where we're not gathering right now. Right. But Jesus was actually headed to that physical place and was about to serve it up, right? About to just break it all down, right. mess with the economy, all of it.
Disrupt.
And so as you know, as a Christian community and a church, for me and for us, I really want us to actually wrestle with this thing that we have become really accustomed to, where we show up on Sunday mornings, the physical place. Is God saying something to us about that? I think that, you know, we all hear stories about how, quote unquote, what's happening with a lot of our, you know, churches and the narrative of, you know, churches kind of dying.
Right.
Have we made the practice of showing up in a space, has that actually become the thing that we have given our lives to? This, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just think there's a lot of parallels that we can draw, you know, Jesus going right to the physical space.
Right.
Where we do our worship.
Yeah.
Which we can't do right now.
No. Right. Yeah, when I was a kid, one of the parts that I loved about this day was that the children in this text get the revelation, mm-hmm. right? The young people get the revelation. Yeah. And that the praise of the people. These were commoners.
Yes. Right?
These weren't the high court. This wasn't, This wasn't the high holies. These weren't the Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus was on his way to meet them in the temple.
Yes, right? Yes.
Because they were selling.
Yes.
They were transacting in the
yes.
temple.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And so growing up, I hold this as a huge component of my own spiritual formation, that I learned that the Christos, Jesus, is a transformer, not a transactor.
Right.
That the transformation was coming to the temple to get yeah. rid of transaction.
Okay, come on.
Right? Say that.
Wait, stop. Say that again. I need you to say that one more time.
Right? The Christ, Jesus, is coming. The revelation is that transformation is coming to do away with transaction.
Transformation mm. is coming. Yeah.
And that what it, one of the ways it disrupts, and one of the ways we've seen it disrupt, our world disrupted right now, is the massive reduction in transactions.
Right.
Right? Purchases, sales, interactions, they're all of those transactions are going down, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. for me, the opportunity for us to then reconsider transformation in this moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And totally. And where I see that in this text is where Jesus is bringing transformation to the people in the temple who were transacting. And the praises of the young people led that movement.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You know, I think it's an interesting question for all of us, right? Who to ask ourselves the questions, how much am I living my life in a transactional manner? Right. Mm-hmm. In my relationships mm-hmm. versus how much do I understand and consider the fact that God is about our living our lives in transformational ways? What am I giving my life to? Not in a way that's transactional, but actually in a way that's transformative in my workplace, in my neighborhood, in my community. I think Lake Burien, I feel like I want to just say here that I think that we are wrestling that with that question, and we've been doing it, but it's clear there's layers and layers and layers of opportunity to become even more transformational in the way that we live our faith. Yeah, that's good, Tally. It's good, but it's messy.
It's messy.
And costly.
Yeah. Well, read the next few verses and you'll see how messy and costly
it was, right?
Right?
Right? Right? Right? He essentially deconstructs the temple. I mean, he tears it apart, right? He interrupts all of the ways in which they were living life, not outside of the temple. They were how they were living life inside of the temple.
Inside the temple. Right?
Right? That whole system was about to get messed up. Mm-hmm. Right, their whole economy, the temple economy, and the economy of everything around it that was supported by the sacrificial system, right? All the economy was supported by what was happening at the temple. And so, you know, it's just, it, you know, the fact that Jesus would actually disrupt an economy, transactional ways of being, is frightening for people. Mm-hmm. To think about, you know, the things that I've been hearing that actually minimize the numbers of deaths, right? Mm. When a few days ago, when there was this conversation about, you know, if we can keep it down to, you know, 100,000, you know, and then we can get back to our economy.
Yeah,
I mean, how is that even? As Christians, I don't even know how we even sit with how do you, you know, how do we kind of hold that conversation and go, no, that is not, you know, the way that we need to be thinking about, because those are actual lives. That's humanity that we're talking about, you know. And unfortunately, the ones who are suffering are who? Right?
That's right.
The marginalized folks, elderly people, you know, and so you begin to realize the connection between how economy kind of thrives, lives and dies, and then who suffers.
And who suffers. That's right. That's right. And as we kind of start to point this conversation towards helping small groups think through possible questions in this week. And one of the questions or thoughts that comes to mind, and for my small group, hello, small group, if you're watching, the ways in which our lives are positioned in this moment, and how do we sense our lives being positioned or repositioned in this moment? Yeah. Because this Palm Sunday, this text, not just, I say Palm Sunday because I was born and raised in church and that's what you call this day, but but the text helps us to get at a moment in time where the church, where the people are being repositioned by Jesus, mm-hmm. right? There's a repositioning happening. And later in the same story, when the high priest and the Pharisees and the important people get wind of what Jesus does, what they say is, do you hear what the children are saying about this person, right?
Yeah.
They're crying Hosanna, right? So there's a repositioning there of power in this moment. There's a repositioning. And so my question that I'm ruminating for my own small group is, how is God repositioning us in this moment? Right? Yeah. In this time today. Mm-hmm. How are you guys thinking about that?
Yeah, it's funny that you asked that question because, you know, in the how I've been thinking about that question for Lake Burien in the midst of what's happening today is I think oftentimes the church has been viewed mostly as, well, I think a lot of people relate to the church, and the church has positioned itself to be mostly a relief organization, right? If you need help, we'll help you. I don't know how where when we think about ourselves as a development kind of organization is when we start talking about discipleship and how our lives being formed. Mm-hmm. And I think in this we should always be both, right? And so with I think the things that we're doing on the relief side, right? Supplies and food for families that need it, you know, the emergency fund that's been set up to give relief to families that need it. There's a lot of things that we're doing on the relief side, but we have to continue to think on the transformational side in terms of what our role is now to pay attention to how people are developing. And specifically, I'm thinking about our young people, right? So how do we make sure that our resources are being spent in that direction? Even though we're trying to do the relief work, we can't not pay attention to what's happening to kids right now who, you know, are sitting at home. And it was really great this week to know that just in our own ministry with children and youth that our kids are being connected with, our Lake B kids, right? They were just on a Zoom call. Right, we have to pay attention to the side of to young people, and not forget that we've got kids that are, and the ones that are going to suffer are the ones that are the most vulnerable.
Yeah.
Right. If we're not paying attention, and my hope is that we can even look at bringing the voice of young people into the process of informing how we recover.
That's right. We have to do that.
Yeah, because I think it impacts them the most.
That's right. So. Amen. Amen. Well, Paul, you have anything you want to add to the small group question conversation?
I think one thing I've been thinking about is still this question of who is this as Jesus comes.
Sure.
In this time, I think to jump on some of the things that Pastor Lena was talking about is, you know, who is this that's coming into this turmoil right now? Meaning, what witness is the church in this time of turmoil?
Yeah.
Is the world asking,
yeah,
who is this of the church, and how is the church going to be transformational, as it were, or what's the community revelation that we are witness to the world in this time?
That's right. That's right. That's awesome.
Yeah, and practically speaking, for me, is like, you know, this whole idea of Palm Sunday, and I'm taking the analogy too far. We literally have palms. We can't be together to have, you know, wave palm branches. But what are the things that we have to lay down of?
Yeah.
Out of our palms and lay it before Jesus.
Well, so that's good.
Ooh. Be
a transformational community in this moment of disruption.
Wow. 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 Yeah, so that's messing with me. I love that. That's so good. That is so good. We don't have palms, but we literally have, because they took the palms from the trees out of their hand and put it before Jesus as a way of worshiping him and honoring Jesus. Yeah. What do we have in our hands that we could put down? Oh my gosh. Oh, well,
yeah.
We better stop this. We better, Lena, you better give us the benediction and some announcements, because I feel like preaching.
You know what? This is what's so funny about, let me just say what's funny about Paul. Like, he waits till the last 5 minutes, right? He did this last week. He's like, you got to go to the tomb. You got to go to the tomb and you got to lay down whatever is in your hands, right? So, I mean, we all know, lovingly referred to Paul as the slicer.
Slicing the truth. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Thanks, yeah. Paul. That's awesome. So, you know, in the spirit of both, you know, all the things that we've been talking about, but I think Paul gave a great encouragement to us. I would say this in addition to that, we can do it. I don't think that as the church that we have the luxury of sitting back and saying, we don't know, we might not know. Mm-hmm. Right. But I don't think that we are excused from actually continuing to live into our mm-hmm. identity as people who follow Christ. God, there are things that God is wanting to teach us about what we think our own limitations are in service, how we can continue to press into what it means to live lives that are transformational and not transactional. So to the church, and to specifically to our Lake Burien folks, you know, it's been super encouraging to see all the ways that people are trying to connect and calling and ask what I can do. But I hope that, you know, in what we're learning in this time of being, you know, distant from each other, that we know that God is doing something. The Spirit of God is always at work, and it's our job to sort of lean in and ask and try and fail. You know, I think that's what we're doing every week. We don't, to just those of you that are out there, we don't know what we're doing. We're trying stuff, and we're having fun doing it. So, you know, we can just keep trying things together and laying, you know, bringing whatever we have to God. So with that, just a happy Palm Sunday to you all. And, you know, as we are thinking about this week, I hope that each of you will take time to set aside moments of quiet and reflection, remembering it's Holy Week. It's weird. Before this Holy Week actually became what we're in right now, one of my commitments, and I shared this with our staff, was I was not going to add any more things to Holy Week, right? Whatever was on the calendar, that was it, but I wasn't going to stack Holy Week with a bunch of things, because I wanted this Holy Week to actually create space for me to deeply engage with all of it. And so that's my prayer for myself this week, my prayer for all of us, that we would do that. And in that, we would see Jesus in new ways. So receive the benediction. To God be the glory, and to the earth be peace and health, and to the church be great courage. Amen.